I'm Carrie McMahon with Pig Health today, and I'm visiting with Mike Eisenminger, a veterinarian with Swine Vet Center out of St. Peter, Minnesota. And we're going to be talking about what he's learned about managing bacterial disease with the new VFDs put into place. So Mike, can you tell me some of the experiences that you've had with managing some of these diseases?
Sure. You know, when we went into the new process where we needed to write VFDs for all our feed antibiotics, and at that point we made the decision we were going to write prescriptions for both water antibiotics and injectable antibiotics. And so we felt as a veterinarian we had good control of what was going on the farm. But when that time frame came, we were at a point where, you know, we were using antibiotics, but we thought, well, going forward, let's use this as kind of a break point and kind of find out how much antibiotics we needed in the system routinely, mm-hmm. versus some of them were just in there and it's like, okay, are they really needed? So a lot of the antibiotics came out at that time. Came out of nursery feed, came out of antibiotic injections in the farrowing house, and even some of the sal pulses that we thought were needed on a routine basis, we just removed. And I think what we found was both good and bad. What we found is some of those antibiotics were truly needed. And by removing them all, it's like we kind of got to the point where it's like, okay, maybe they weren't needed here, but they certainly were needed here. And a good example of that one would be, for me, would be in the farrowing house. When we were processing pigs, doing the castration and tail docking when the pigs were 3 days of age, the routine up to that point was every pig in that stage basically got an injection of antibiotic. Mm-hmm. And then we sat and looked at that and says, well, was that really necessary? So we pulled a lot of that out. And over the next 6 months to a year, what we noticed in a lot of the systems, what the pre-weaning mortality was going up. Mm-hmm. And when we went back and explored the reason for that, it was a lot of joint infections that were occurring around the time of those surgical procedures. And so it seems logical, like just like for us in humans, that when we're going through a surgical procedure, perhaps it is appropriate to have some antibiotics on board. And so we've gone back, not 100%, but on a large percentage, to go back and placing antibiotics again at the time of the surgical procedure in farrowing.
Hmm. And how has it been working with their clients on these VFDs and going through this process?
I think the clients want to do what's right. And so if an antibiotic truly is needed, then we are going to be there to apply it and write the VFD. So really the VFD process, I think for me and for us, was just a point in time where it was just a good reflection to decide if what we were doing was 100% correct. But if it was needed and the right thing to do, whether we have to write a VFD or not really is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. If it's needed, we'll figure out how to write the VFD, get it to the feed mill, get all the laws and paperwork taken care of, and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in other words, the VFDs is kind of doing its job.
I honestly agree with that statement. Uh-huh. When I first looked at it, it was like, oh my gosh, am I going to be a veterinarian that's just signing a bunch of paperwork? And I'm just going to be becoming a paper shuffling veterinarian. But in reality, I tell people, yeah, it was a pain in the rear, but it was good for us. It made us stop and reflect on all the programs that we're doing and really figure out by removing them which ones were really needed to put back into place. And another maybe clear example of that one would be in the nursery stage production. In the nursery stage of production, it was, you know, we were hearing around the country that there were antibiotic-free systems, and it's like, well, you know, maybe we could be one of those too. Do we really need the antibiotics in the nursery? And in really healthy flows, we took away the antibiotics. And in general, it was not a bad thing, but you could see mortality creep up slightly. And there were also maybe some minor welfare issues around health, and so we put them back in more strategically. And at the same time, we committed to, which is another good example of the process working, is we would sit down quarterly and we would review all the feed grade antibiotic programs and all the what we call our flow health programs, which we would look back and say, okay, this flow would get these injectable antibiotics and this would be the feed bed program, and if they needed water antibiotic, it would be based on that. And that went from more of a, I would say just a a loose organizational thing to a very tight process now today.
And you did that with your customer?
Correct.
So you were really serving the veterinarian role, more of a consultant at that point and going through everything.
Yeah, I think that we could clearly say to the consumer that there is more veterinary oversight today on antibiotic use than there was prior to 16.
Wow.
No doubt.
And the, has that helped the hog operations that you're working with?
I definitely believe it's made us, I think it's made the industry better. Mm-hmm. I still think that what we've also learned is that, I mean, antibiotics are still extremely important in pig health. And if we place them right, it is better for the pig and the pig's welfare is better with them than without them. Mm-hmm. So our job is really to take this, what I would say, excuse me, is this precious resource that we have, and we need to realize that it's a precious resource and just do our best to really use it most appropriately. We want to preserve the right to use antibiotics, and if we do it in a responsible way, which I think we are under the VFD and prescription process, that it's something that can continue on in the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you know or have an idea of how much, how many fewer or percent of fewer antibiotics you're prescribing today than you were?
We definitely do. I think the other thing that became much more routine was the tracking of antibiotic mm-hmm. use. Now, in general, we haven't made that like announcement to the world and say we were currently using this many milligrams per pound marketed and now we're down to this. But internally, we're using that as a benchmark to say, you know, where are we at today? And in general, it has stepped down over the last several years. Mm-hmm. It probably went down the very first year a lower and then came back up slightly, but it didn't go back to the level that it was prior to the new process. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do you think of ever going to an antibiotic-free operation?
I'm hoping that with the life cycle of the pig, you know, and what we need to go through and the current diseases that we have in the world, that we're not forced to go to that situation. And, you know, even when I have that conversation with my family, you know, it's like they were all born and raised on a farm, all live in the city now, but it's just like, you know, it's like, you hear you guys really shouldn't be using any antibiotics in pigs. And it's like, what are you doing? And it's like, you sit down and you begin to discuss with them, you know, appropriate antibiotic use, the privilege to use antibiotics, and that the welfare, as soon as you start talking about the welfare of the pig is better if we have the opportunity to use it in a very strategic manner, mm-hmm. then they start to understand. And especially if you relate it to them in human terms, and it's like you start talking to them about their family and their right to use antibiotic when they need them. Mm-hmm. At the end of the conversation, it's like, you know, it's usually, oh, I'm much more aware and I get it now. Mm-hmm. But so many people don't just stop and have that conversation. Mm-hmm.